America's birthday, the 4th of July, Independence Day. No matter what you call today, it's a date that binds Americans of all stripes together. But is it really just one day? The Lee Resolution was passed by the Second Continental Congress on July 2nd. Passing the Lee Resolution was the act that decided we, the people, would declare ourselves independent from England. The process from deciding to become independent to passing the public declaration took 3 days. At least some of our founding fathers expected July 2nd to be the day that we would celebrate as Independence Day. But a year later, in Philadelphia, several celebrations spontaneously erupted on July 4th, even though our nation was still at war and would not earn her independence for 7 more years. Nearly 100 years later, in 1870, July 4th was declared the official Independence Day holiday. It's the day we celebrate with cookouts, fireworks, and of course, a well-deserved day off of work. We also honor and remember the Declaration of Independence, our nation's founding document, first adopted by just 13 American colonies. But what is it, really? Well, it's a piece of parchment containing a specific set of ideas seared into the consciousness of every person who calls themselves American. Among those ideals are what Jefferson called self-evident truths, that all men are created equal, and that their creator endows them with certain unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our nation's founding is remarkable in several ways. It is the first time that a government had been established for the purpose of protecting the rights of its citizens. It was also the first time the word happiness ever appeared in a foundational document. The concepts contained in the Declaration of Independence are the beginning of American exceptionalism. The Declaration of Independence is also an aspiration. It was and remains a goal. Just as the Constitution seeks to form a more perfect union, the Declaration summarizes and eloquently explains why our founding fathers would not only seek but demand independence from the Crown in London. Having stated the reasons of a long train of abuses, it closes with "these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, absolved from all allegiance to Britain." This marked the beginning of the end of the cord that tied the colonies to a tyrant. More than a full year before delegates of the Second Continental Congress put their names on that essential piece of parchment, they formed a unified army to fight the tyranny of Great Britain. Its commander, of course, was General George Washington. Just 5 short months later, in Philadelphia, the same Congress established the first 2 battalions of Marines. Without the brave, not quite yet Americans, fighting on behalf of a nation whose declaration was still a year away, the words of Jefferson would ring hollow. Without the assurance that blood would be shed in her defense, America very well may have remained lifeless as the sheet of parchment that carries her birth. Washington received word about the document in a letter dated July 6, 1776. In it, John Hancock, president of the Continental Congress, explained that Congress had wrestled with the very notion of independence. He wrote that Americans would have to control, quote, "both causes and events to bring about his own determination," end quote. A sentiment which Washington shared. For the troops serving in Washington's largely untrained army, a declaration of independence meant they would be fighting not for the defense of the colonies, but for the birth of a new nation, for a new way of life, where they, and only they, would control its direction. The words were so moving, so emotionally charged, that a statue of King George III in New York City was melted down for bullets needed to defend the new nation that lay beyond. Colonial, now American faces were willing to meet British ones on the field of battle, willing to die for their own freedom, and the freedom of their families, their neighbors, and the future generations of Americans whom they never had a chance to meet. The same persistence was shown just 36 years after America was declared independent, when they again took on the greatest naval power the world has ever known, Great Britain, in the War of 1812. It was on display later when the country was tearing itself apart during the Civil War and in the trenches of Europe, on the shores of Utah Beach, on islands of the Pacific, in the hills of Korea, the jungles of Vietnam, and the deserts of the Middle East. The spirit of freedom will prevail wherever tyranny is met, through American soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and yes, Coasties, willing to stand up and face freedom's enemy. Today, we honor the memory of those who boldly declared independence by living free, thanks to those who continue to show the bravery and selflessness required to keep us that way. And I would like to leave you with a reading of the Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence. Action of Second Continental Congress, July 4, 1776. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms of which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right and it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient suffrage of the colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpation, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this,
let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness of his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected,
whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to the laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of
and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they shall commit, inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretend offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever.
He has abdicated government here. By declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people.
He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas, to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
Nor have we been wanting in attentions in our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend of unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed their native justice and magnanimity.
And we have conjured by them the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies of war, in peace, friends.
We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as a free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all the other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other
our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
From sea to shining sea, oh Lord, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus.